This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon and welcome to the show. I'm Mira Sivasodi. Friday and he's in. You know, every time I see him, I'm happy only because it reminds me that it's the last shift for the week, actually. Dr. George Lee.
Is that all?
Absolutely. All that's right, all, okay. George.
No drinks after that?
No. No, okay, never. Right. What are you saying? I don't do such things.
Well, you know, after a whole week of you torturing the others, I think, you know, it's about time you actually just relax, chill out.
It's been a pretty relaxing week, actually. I think the one day holiday in the middle sort of disrupted everything. But,
yeah, because it feels like Tuesday today,
it
right?
It does. I'm not sure what it feels like.
But never mind, the weekend's coming.
It is. And, you know, we have in the studio with us a very interesting person. He's been on the show many years ago, and I'm happy to have him back. He's a bariatric surgeon, Dr. Casey Cha. Welcome, Dr. Cha. How are you today?
Very good. Thank you very much for inviting me again.
You are most welcome. And, you know, if you're wondering what bariatric surgery is, you always think along the lines of losing weight, right? Gastric bypass, rubber banding, doing that sort of thing. I'll be very honest with you, Dr. Cha. I'm very against all of that. I'm like, why does anybody need to do that? Wow. Can't they just do things the traditional way? Can't they just go exercise
and go, you know,
control your diet, for goodness sakes? But today's discussion is very interesting. It's about weight loss surgery and how it can help type 2 diabetes patients through surgery like this.
And now she has a change of view.
Yes, I do. Yes. And for at least 5 years, these people have been followed in this study. And it's finally out in the Lancet of all places. So very strong evidence that bariatric surgery could possibly help with a cure for type 2 diabetes. Is using the word cure a very strong word, right, do you think?
Yes.
Well, cure in some pharmaceutical industry is a very dirty word because it means that you don't need to take the medication anymore. Mm-hmm. But it is a very exciting word for many, many sufferers, because men who come to see me with many, many conditions, they are looking for cure. In fact, everyone is looking for cure. So we want to grill Dr. Cha today to see whether we are looking for that holy grail. The cure.
Yes, for diabetes of all things. I mean, how many of us in Malaysia have, we have the highest number of diabetics among ASEAN countries. 1 in 5 adults above the age of 30, what, 30.6 million of us are diabetic. So, and it's a worldwide epidemic, don't you think?
Actually, from a surgeon's point of view, I think we believe we have reached a point that we can cure diabetes through surgery. Of course, I would not say 100% cure rate. I think 50% is pretty good.
Yeah, and that's exactly what this research has said, that it is able to produce prolonged remission of about 50% of cases.
In 5 years.
Remissions,
right, okay. So they put cures in, you know, air quotes, kind of like a, you know, in inverted commas,
correct,
right?
Correct. What did you think of the research?
Yeah, tell us a little bit more about exactly what this is.
This is not new to us. Surgeon has been doing weight loss surgery or bariatric surgery since 1950s. It's just that about 70 years ago, what we're doing is just open surgery. And it became more popular in the late 90s when we start using minimally invasive surgery. We basically do keyhole surgery. Mm-hmm. So the morbidity from the surgeries have been very minimum. And just like this paper
Produced in Lancet.
Yes,
yeah.
Correct.
Okay. I mean, is this some sort of like, you know, it's obviously a prospective study that actually has been monitoring patients over the 5 year period. What sort of numbers are we talking about and what sort of randomization are they doing?
See, the number are quite small. They're about
52, I think.
About 60 patients. Okay. There are three arms of patients. That means first one is a medically treated patient, about 20.
Okay, so these are our traditional diabetic patient that's given medicine.
Correct, medicine
okay.
and
so
diet control.
What's the second arm?
The second arm is gastric bypass.
Okay, and then so essentially these are a group of people who kind of like traditionally come and see you to get a piece of banding on the stomach. Okay, and what's the third arm?
Well, the third arm actually also is a surgery. It's just a much more complicated surgery. Actually, they're also similar like bypass. It's just... the limb of the intestine has been bypassed much more. Okay, it's much longer.
Mm-hmm. What's the purpose of this third arm?
Well, it's actually they just want to compare the two different types of
surgery. All right, so conveniently using this operation, this study to look at two types of...
Correct,
okay.
Correct.
So what's the kind of take-home message from this? I mean, it's 5 years,
actually,
right?
Actually, this is pretty much expected. The results show the diabetes improve.
Yeah.
In especially the surgical group. Okay, in the surgery group. And almost two about 30 something percent of the bypass patient doesn't is in remission.
And right.
At about 5 years.
How do they define this remission?
Oh, they use a typical fasting blood glucose of less than 5 point, certain number, 5.6 minimal. And then they also check the hemoglobin A1C.
Okay.
Which is traditionally a criteria to assess patients' sugar level.
Do you see many patients coming forward here to do bariatric surgery to control? Most of the time it's to control obesity.
You'll be surprised. In Malaysia, we have been doing it quite a lot.
Mm-hmm. For what? For diabetes?
Okay. You have to be very careful. Okay, we are treating diabetes who are overweight. Okay, right. In this case.
Right.
So this patient enrolled in these studies have a BMI, body mass index, of more than 35.
Okay.
We don't just pick anyone who are diabetics. Just
okay.
In for surgery.
Why not?
Well, there's no studies.
Right. So there's no studies. So you don't have kind of like a normal weight individuals.
Correct.
Has been treated with bariatric. Is it ethical to treat normal weight individuals with bariatric surgery?
Well, okay. Again, from a certain standpoint, yes, it should be done under investigational, like institutional
for
study
trial
protocol,
purposes.
For trial purpose. But not, let's say, example, someone walk into my private clinic and asking me to do a surgery for diabetes who are not obese. And I would think carefully. I wouldn't actually, I would send him away.
Well, actually, you know, like Mira, I was really excited about this because this can potentially change the whole landscape of medicine, right? Okay, because diabetes can arguably be the plague of the 21st century.
It is.
Because, you know, it is not just the actual diabetes itself. It actually is a wider implication of this disease. Because of diabetes, you get blindness, you get kidney failure, you get amputations, you get regular infection. It's a chronic applications of medicine, and there are, how many did you say? 13 million people in Malaysia walking the street.
30
You well, know, this is 10%. That's a huge number of patients. And
I apologize. No, those above the age of 30 are about 3.6 million.
3.6
million.
I apologize.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. So
it's about 10%.
Yeah, so
us.
It can potentially, I mean, change the landscape. But I mean, surely we have to take this with a pinch of salt, a bit of a caution. I know it's published in Lancet. Are there any drawbacks or any concerns you have with this paper?
Well, the one thing that probably is the numbers of the patients
too small.
Too small. But however, we do have large number study, but which was not randomized trial. You see, we surgeons always do surgery and then we publish our series. We case control them. And then
that's low level evidence, right?
So in order to convince the physician outside, out there, who are very focused on evidence-based medicine.
Yes.
So this is the first study to actually follow patient for 5 years. And the primary endpoint they were looking at is purely diabetic.
Okay.
They're not even looking at their weight. Weight is actually a secondary.
Right.
See, to us, weight loss surgery is for weight loss and all the comorbid problem. But for this paper, they focus the primary endpoint they use as diabetic and all the associated complications from diabetes. They follow them. They check them all for myocardial infarction 5 years later.
But what are the long-term implications of this?
Well, it clearly showed that these patients who have undergone the surgery, those patients who have allocated to the surgery arms, have really very good glucose control. All right, at 2 years, definitely, and 5 years, and even though they have
relapses
of high blood sugar.
Mm.
However, this relapse, when they check their hemoglobin A1C. You see, hemoglobin A1C is a marker that we use to trace their long-term blood sugar control.
Right, essentially just to actually look at the benchmark to see the control.
Correct.
Right, because it can be classified into good control, satisfied control,
correct,
or you know, poor control.
Yes.
Okay.
Almost 80% of them have very good control of hemoglobin A1C about less than 7.
Mm.
At 80% at 5 years. So when they are not even taking medications,
when you have done bariatric surgery for your patients for obesity, do you see their diabetes levels dropping?
Yes,
and
of course.
Do you monitor them for how long after surgery?
We work as a team. We have endocrinologists looking after our patients. See, after surgery, normally I see them from the surgical standpoint. And then I will make sure they see their endocrinologist.
Mm.
And most of them have decreased the medication usage or totally don't need the medications after probably 1 year.
Mm-hmm.
All right, and from the consensus from our colleagues, pretty much it helps.
Okay, mm-hmm. It does help. Right. But then, you know, the ultimate question, as it came out in the article, is whether or not diabetes surgery like this is associated with reduced mortality, is what we're concerned about, isn't it?
Yeah, because at the end of the day, you can have on figures, this is good control. However, does that translate to less of complication, which will be a good idea? I mean, I've got a lot more questions to ask you. I want to find out about, you know, what do you think is a proposed mechanism of this? And then, you know, what sort of implication we have it. But we want to get the Klang Valley listeners to join us in the discussion. I think, you know, when you had this particular topic, Mira, I was quite excited. That's what ulterior motive, really. When I rang up Dr. Cha, the first thing I said is, hey, I need a bariatric operation. You know what he said? Well, I guess you are fat enough to probably consider it. So I want to know more about
did
it.
Did I say that?
For those of you who want to join the conversation to find out more about bariatric surgery, this is your chance, because is this the revolution that's going to change the landscape, that solve the problems of diabetes and obesity, or is this just a gimmick that Dr. Cha is trying to put forward to the general public?
Let's find out. It's in the Lancet.
It's in the Lancet.
Drug therapy versus surgery. What do you think?
It's a very exciting kind of like a parameters to compare. Although it's a small study, I think there's a lot of discussion point, because this potentially can change. This can be the game changers for the treatment of diabetes.
Okay. Will it reverse it or not? Well, give us a call. The number is 03-77109000. You can tweet BFM Radio or text 016-201-9000. Good afternoon and welcome to the show. It's our Health and Living segment. In the studio, Dr. George Lee, consultant urologist. It's Friday. Also in the studio with us, Dr. KC Cha, a bariatric surgeon. We're discussing bariatric surgery and diabetes. It's just been published in The Lancet. A study suggests that weight loss surgery cures half the patients with type 2 diabetes for at least 5 years. And Dr. George now wants to think about bariatric surgery. But you did remember, Dr. Cha said BMI 35 and above,
right.
Did you say?
Well
this study.
For this study.
In
the UK, the NICE guideline have very specific regulations about who is suitable for bariatric surgeries and who is not. Is that true?
Yes. If you look at the National Health Institute, NIH Institute of Health in US, those who are above 40 body mass index is considered morbidly obese. They are automatically, you know, qualified for this surgery. But if you are more than 35 with comorbid, such as this diabetes or high blood pressure, you are also qualified. However, We have to understand Asian tends to get more of these medical problems at a lower BMI, such as Indian, Chinese,
because
or Malay.
It's in the genes.
Probably we tend to get more diabetes or high blood pressure at a lower BMI, as low as 30.
So what you're saying is that the all the figures that we looked at in Lancet's publication in most of the Western journals are based on Western populations. And if we are based this on the Eastern population, we have to shift the goalposts a little bit towards the lower part.
Correct.
So what you're saying is that I'm actually, rather than overweight, I'm actually morbidly obese or something, right?
No, you're all right. You're in the ethnicity.
Well,
I'm in the wrong group.
Well, but it's Asian in general, right?
Correct.
It's not just
really?
Asian. Yeah, it's not just.
But I thought Indians have a higher tendency.
Oh, okay. We shift the goalpost further point.
Yeah, that is true.
From
the
diabetes standpoint, yes.
See?
Indian subcontinent is very bad in terms of the incidence of the diabetes.
Oh,
so bariatric surgery will not help?
No. It's a big thing in India right now, bariatric surgery.
Okay. But even if you're not terribly obese?
Well, we still have a certain guideline. Asian surgeons probably still use, if your BMI is about 32.5 and above, but not 40 or 35.
Okay.
But of course, still not lower than 30. It's too low.
Still too low. So 30 is still too low. Yes. Are there, how often do people actually, I'm going to go back to my stand before, you know, when we started the show. Why can't you just exercise and control your diet?
Well, study has shown 95% fail this diet, exercise, medications.
Why?
At 2 years period.
Laziness.
See, in this study, you look at this similar study. They randomized 20 patients to this with BMI more than 35 to diet and medications. their weight loss is probably less than, let me see, less than 5% at 2 years, okay? Compared to surgical group who lost more than 30% of their weight, 37 or 50% of their weight.
So, well, it doesn't take a genius to work out that, you know, the hard way you actually achieve less of a result. I mean, this is a quick fix situation. So, you know, is this the, you know...
How long will it last?
That's right. Mira is concerned that, look, it has to be earned, right? Your health has to be earned, and then rather than a quick fix situation. So are we moving away from that thought of traditional mirror thought that, you know, you need to have a good health, you need to work for it, you need to eat healthy, you need to exercise regularly, or can we just have a quick fix attitude with this bariatric surgery? Is this the way forward?
Well, I disagree. Lots of my patients that come to see me, they have struggled all their life trying to control their diabetes and their weight at the same time.
True.
So when do we act? Do we just tell everybody to come to my room and tell them, you go home and exercise for 2 years and come back?
That's why it was tempting for me just to ring up Dr. Cha and say, it's time now for me to act.
You don't
qualify.
But
on the other hand, one thing that the statistics that got me really worried is like, you know, in Malaysia, aren't we the fattest nation in Southeast Asia?
Yes.
Right, okay.
Mm-hmm.
We have 42% of us walking in the streets in Malaysia actually are overweight, and I'm one of them, okay? And then this is the figures from the UK. It's like 1 in 4 adults in England are obese. A further 42% of these are classified overweight, which is similar to Malaysia. So if England has this similar data, then the rest of data should apply to us, okay? The figures for this is 32% are women. And then a BMI of 30 to 35, your life expectancy is to be shortened by 4 years. So I'm technically shortened my life expectancy by 4 years. The BMI 40 and above, you cut down your life expectancy by 10 years. And then also it actually costs the NHS $5.1 billion to manage the complication of obesity. So therefore, I am thinking that in many ways, is this quick fix procedure, it's going to shift the goalposts a lot and save a lot of money and actually free up the resources for other conditions? So that is a very good question that I ask myself quite constantly.
Okay, and what are you actually doing during bariatric surgery?
Okay, gastric bypass, in this paper, they are focusing on gastric bypass. Actually, there are other procedures that we can do other than gastric bypass. Nowadays, the most commonly done procedure in the world right now is what we call a stapling, a gastric stapling, a sleeve gastrectomy.
Is that
something
taken like
over? Yeah, no, that is a second. This the other.
Oh, right.
There's a third option. Okay. Now, the most commonly done in the worldwide right now should be sleeve gastrectomy in the United States.
Can you describe that a little bit for us?
Stapling. So, what do you do?
Stapling. Basically, we use imaging the stomach as a reservoir. Mm-hmm. Okay. We just make it smaller. Okay, we just cut it like a sleeve, the size, the shape and size of the sleeve of your stomach. Your stomach looks like a bit big, and then we just make it like a tube. All right.
So you okay.
You have a your stomach basically become a tube.
Okay.
All right. The capacity has greatly reduced. Okay. Certain hormones, which is produced mainly in the top of the stomach, has been removed. Which this hormone we call ghrelin, is the one that make you have appetite, want to eat. Actually, you remove most of it.
Right.
So those are the most common. That's the procedure. Sleeve gastrectomy or with stomach stapling is the most commonly done procedure right now in the world. Same thing in the United States. And Australia is picking up and throughout the world.
Does it last forever?
Well, there is. We also don't have 10 years result. I can't tell you. But the 5 years results are still awaited for the randomized control trial. We don't have we're still waiting for the 5 years result.
This is for diabetes.
This is for weight loss and diabetes.
Okay.
See, we have to be clear. We are talking about diabetes who are overweight.
Okay.
Okay. We are not talking about diabetes who are not overweight.
Right. Okay. So you're primarily banding it for the overweight populations. Okay.
Only the overweight.
Yes. That's your primary intention.
Correct.
And then if anything that is better, kind of like as a result of that, it will be the diabetic patients.
Correct.
Are you observing the similar figures that the Lancet published?
Of course.
For all your weight loss patients. So if I come to see you and then I have got a BMI of 39, you know, and I say to you, so Dr. Cha, Number one is exactly what sort of success would you quote me in terms of weight loss? How much weight reduction will I get for BMI of 40 down to what? Dr. Cha, what are my risk of figures that you give me to improve my diabetes? And also, Dr. Cha, what will this? What are the chances for this to relapse? How would you answer those questions?
Okay. First of all, if you are 40 kilo overweight, example, 40 kilo overweight.
Well, let's talk about BMI. I mean, BMI, like, you know, I want my BMI to be in normal situation. Well, because you may I can be, you know, 160 kilo, and then 40 kilo is still way, way away from 40, you know, from the proper BMI.
Okay. We will not promise you to go back to BMI of 23, right? But at least you will drop to, it all depends on what is your initial BMI.
Okay, like 40 is my 40. Initial BMI.
Dropping to 30 in 1 year is achievable.
It's achievable.
Yes.
30 in 1 year. Okay.
That means you drop the 10. Okay.
So after the operation, do I still have to watch my diet? Do I still have to exercise? Or it will just miraculously drop off?
See, I have to emphasize, surgery is not a quick fix. It's not a quick fix, okay?
Okay, now it's all coming out. It's all coming out now.
Surgery is
you
not
thought
a quick
it
fix.
Was, George.
That's right,
isn't.
Yeah, because that's why I call him up, because I wanted this miracle holy grail.
So this is not a miracle surgery.
Okay.
I told you, they have been doing this since 1960s, all right? We just make it easier and make it look easier and less less
essentially give you a head start.
Okay, exactly. You lose the weight initially, significantly, but you still have to watch your diet because, see, so the procedure make your stomach smaller, first of all. So you can't eat that much.
Yep.
So you eat a bit, you feel full easily. This is especially true in the beginning of the post-operative period. So you tend to have problem with, because you have been eating so much all this time, and suddenly ask you to just take 2 spoonful of meat and then you're full.
So I mean, what sort of like initial complication am I expecting after you operated on me?
See, nausea, vomiting is a side effect
of the operation.
That means you can't eat that much, you can't eat that fast. All right. In terms of complications, immediate post-operative complications such as those bleeding, infections, leakage from the staple line.
Well, I assume in your hands that doesn't happen. So I want to know what happens to me afterwards.
It means
like, you know, like apart from a bit of nausea and vomiting, and how long will that last?
So how do you feel? Okay, stapling. Yeah. So you start eating.
You pretty
less.
Much, okay, you start the first 2 weeks, I will limit you to a liquid diet. Okay. After the 2 weeks, you're probably on soft diet for another, so it's about a month. You probably can lose about 10 kilos during the first month, right?
With liquid diet and soft diet.
I can do that even without surgery.
Without surgery, that's
no,
right.
But our effect is long sustainable. Okay? This surgery effect is sustainable.
Okay.
So then you follow by the second month, okay?
Right.
The weight loss will slow down slowly, but it still continues. We will say probably you're losing about 2 to 4 kilos per month.
This is part of my argument. It's just like sometimes because after you have surgery, you're more cautious. You get medical healthcare professionals who comes to see you regularly, and you're probably more cautious to lose weight anyway, right? So what are my chances of getting relapse from my 30 BMI and go up to 40 again?
So how can so say George starts to slowly indulge slowly.
Even though my stomach is now a sleeve size,
can it? Effect okay, can
I
that
always
sleeve?
Warn the pa- yeah. I warn the patient the weight loss will continue for the first 2 years. After the 2 years period, your weight will plateau, all right? But if you don't take care of yourself, let's say he likes a chocolate or ice cream at night before he goes to sleep, that itself is a bad thing. You can put the weight back, okay?
Eating the wrong food,
exactly. So that's why you still have to watch diet. Let's say, example, if you gain 1 kilo a year after starting the third or fourth year, because you will be able to eat slightly more and more because the stomach will stretch a little bit. Same thing with gastric bypass. All right. So after 2 or 3 years, you start putting on 1 kilogram a year.
Mm-hmm.
If let's say you are 10 years down the road, you're looking at you gain back the 10 kilogram. But that's 10 years. At least surgery help you to maintain for the good 10 years. Shift the graph to the right. That means delay the complication of the weight problem. Okay, we interrupt the weight gained, and we give it a good 5 years, good blood sugar control, good blood pressure control.
Mm.
And even if you gain weight, okay, it will slowly come back. But at least it gives you a 10 years.
Okay, so
he thought this is going to be tempting. Yeah. So what I wanted to say is your stomach muscle has the ability to expand again after bariatric surgery.
Correct. Well, but it will not go back to normal size. Even if stretch, it was just stretch a little bit.
Okay.
But so you will still be able to eat.
You will still be at lower weight levels as,
correct,
you know.
And the important thing is, we have to take, the important point is, we delayed the development of all the weight-related complications, mm-hmm, such as diabetes, you know, or high blood pressure, or maybe myocardial infarction.
Delaying, because the paper gives the impression that it's eliminating it rather than delaying it.
So, well, you know, we have only 5 years result.
Okay, right. So
these people need to be watched the next 5 years.
Correct. No, we should see that there is relapse or high blood sugar, yeah, in this paper. Okay, which we expect is expected as well. It's not cure, but at least we delay a lot of complications, because each year of diabetes will shorten the life.
Okay. Right, okay. So you answer those questions. You know, you reckon that within a year I can reduce my BMI by, you know, from 40 to about 30. And if I do suffer from diabetes, I'll improve 50% of the time. Does that mean I don't need medication anymore?
Yeah, exactly like this paper stated. Yeah, you do need medications for the first 2 years and then fifth year. But maybe some patients have relapsed, but still have a very good HbA1c, the hemoglobin A1c, that means your the blood sugar long-term level.
What's so bad about medication that you need surgery?
Well, no. We know most patients who are diabetic are on medication, yes, which is fine. But they still get a lot of complications from the diabetes, such as the eye problems, the neurological problem. You have loss of sensation in your legs. You then get ulcer and then get amputation, you know, or you get heart attack. So it's not, and most patients have very poor control who are on medication only. Mm. It's just like this paper stated. Not many people, no one was in remission after 2 years.
Will this be a way of people being more complacent?
Great question.
I mean, I've done the bypass. Who cares? Let me indulge.
From general layperson, yes, but you see, we are actually not doing enough from the surgical standpoint. Whole worldwide, we are only touching about 1% of the population at risk. Those patients who qualify for this surgery, we are only touching 1%. Say in the United States, you're probably doing about 300,000 a year. Mm. But they have more patients who need this surgery. In Malaysia, we are doing probably less than 1,000 cases, probably less than 500 cases a year.
In the whole country?
Yeah.
Okay.
But how many obese patients are
overweight? We have 42% overweight. Yeah.
Obesity is about 14%.
Okay. See? Well, which is similar figures to NHS. Yes. So my question is that you worked in the States before, and then obviously this was hugely popular over a period of time. You get celebrities like Sharon Osbourne who had it done, and then, you know, people wanted to do it, and it kind of died off. So I don't know why. And you get countries like UK who's not really follow suit. In Malaysia, you know, I'm surprised to hear that we only done about 500 per year. So why is that, you know, from all the benefits that you highlighted, why are we having fear? Is there any drawback to this condition, operation at all?
Well, the problem in Malaysia, probably because we are still relatively, we need to train more doctors to do it well, okay? Because it's not a straightforward procedure.
So what are the sort of complication am I expecting if I were to go to this operation?
See, whenever you operate on an obese patient, they tend to have more
complications to start off with.
You can form a deep vein thrombosis, the blood clot in your legs that can travel to your lung and kill the patient. They call pulmonary embolism. It's more difficult to do, actually, because the body habitat is just too big. You tend to get into injury to other organs. So you need expert to do it. Okay. So, but having said that, this operation is very safe.
Really?
In a good hand, the risk of dying is probably as low as doing a gallbladder surgery.
George?
It's 0.3%.
In good hands.
So, yeah, I'm swinging from wanting to do it and not wanting to do it. I'm in two minds. Let's see what the general public here say. You know, help me out. Should I do it? Should I not? Please give us a ring.
We have Tan on the line. We'll come back and get your question just after this market update. Meanwhile, give us a call. The number is 03-77-109000. You can tweet BFM Radio or text 016-201. Good afternoon and welcome back. I'm Mira Sivasodhi. In the studio with me, Dr. George Lee, consultant, urologist, and Dr. Casey Cha, a bariatric surgeon. We're discussing bariatric surgery and diabetes. If you're wondering what bariatric surgery is, it's all your gastric banding, stapling, gastric bypass. These are the people who actually carry out these sort of surgeries. And we're talking about whether or not bariatric surgery can help people with type 2 diabetes. And a recent study that's come out in The Lancet clearly shows that it has some benefits, especially for those with a BMI of 40 and above. 35 and above. So if you are diabetic indeed and BMI 35 and above, do you think this is something everyone should be thinking about?
Of course, definitely.
If you are in that category, you may want to explore it. Moving on, Tan, you're on the line. Well, what's your question?
Afternoon, Tan.
Good afternoon.
Yeah, good afternoon. I want to know whether this surgery is good for type 1 diabetes as well.
Great question.
Okay, thank you very much, Dan. Thank you for that. If you have a question, give us a call. The number is 03-77-109000. Tweet BFM Radio or text 016-201-9000.
For type 1 diabetes?
Yes.
No, because type 1 diabetes have a different mechanism, so pathophysiology. Basically, it's not caused by excess weight, mm-hmm. and also insulin insensitivity. Probably there's a primary defective of beta cells of the insulin of the pancreas.
So it's probably believed more to due to immune related. And quite a large number of type 1 diabetic patients are not necessarily overweight, really. So it's not necessarily diet-induced diabetes. So
type 1 is an autoimmune disease, am I correct?
Yeah, so much younger patients.
Okay. We have a question from Michael Yap. He's saying, a question for Dr. Cha. I've heard that after bariatric surgery, patients experience taste changes and it definitely helps with weight loss. Is it due to hormonal changes or is it due to changes in neurological mechanisms post-surgery?
Well, mechanism of the weight loss, a lot of times we don't really understand after bypassing the intestines mm-hmm. what it does to your gastrointestinal tract hormonal changes. In terms of the taste bud changes that can happen, especially after the bypass and the sleeve gastrectomy. And you do have a loss of certain appetite-stimulating hormones. Mm-hmm. So that is quite common, all right? But in terms of actual mechanism, it's very complex.
Okay. What about in terms of nutrition, Dr. Cha? I mean, are you not concerned that people will not get enough nutrition as a result?
Or the right nutrition, right? Okay.
Correct. This is very important. We have to be very careful who are we operating, especially if, example, in most surgeries, you have to make sure there's no deficient calcium intake and the protein intake. All right?
Yeah.
It can cause some iron deficiency or calcium or protein deficiency. So we have to be careful. We have to prep the patient very well. We also be very careful in terms of the old patient who are that. Like example, Indian population. If they are vegetarian, their protein intake is going to be significantly low. If you do the surgery, they're even worse. So we have to prepare them well in terms of this procedure.
So you essentially ensure that they have got the balanced diet, balanced nutrition prior to offering this operation.
Surgery. Correct. Okay. Lee, how are you? You have a question, Lee?
Hello, yes.
Yes.
I would like to ask this question. Is this procedure actually performed for people who have BMI below 35? As in, the main purpose of the procedure is not to lose weight or to control diabetes, but as in for aesthetic purposes.
Okay, all right. Thank you very much. So bariatrics for other reasons.
Oh, yeah,
than
of
just
course.
Purely aesthetic.
See, BMI, for Asian, we accept anyone between 30 to 35. There are other more, less
that?
Invasive. Yes, I say that.
30 to 35.
There you go, George.
Right. See, okay, that's fine.
There are other procedures which are less invasive. So we can talk like gastric banding or no.
Can you explain to the readers, listeners a little bit about the differences between banding and bypass?
Yeah. Okay. And you have state.
Banding is purely restricting. Basically, we put a band on top of your stomach and then we can just adjust the opening of the band by putting some water into a reservoir. It just the reservoir is situated.
This purely restrict capacity
correct.
Of the stomach.
We do not rerouting your intestine. So there is no problem with absorption problem and no problem with complication from the surgery. Uh-huh. Okay, so it's a much safer operation. However, banding require a lot of follow-up.
Okay.
Not many people like to do that.
Okay.
They need to see your doctors to adjust the band so that you can achieve weight loss.
Okay.
It's good for patients who are probably not very obese, but between 30 to 35. Okay, it's approved by FDA for 30 to 35 for mm-hmm. gastric banding from gastric banding.
Is that harder work on the part of the patient?
Yes, because you need a lot more follow-up. You need to see your doctors more often.
Okay, and you need to control your diet even more.
Correct.
Yeah, George,
right.
No easy way out, George.
No easy way out.
But the answer to the listener, yes, we do surgery for those who are not.
For aesthetic purposes.
For BMI at least 30, 35.
Well, I guess if you lose weight and then anything is aesthetic, right? Okay. I mean, will the patients who, let's say, are quite obese and then they lose weight very fast, will that have adverse impact on, number one, their health? Number two is that, you know, I have quite a few patients who lost weight very quickly and then they started getting other problems like flabby skin
exactly.
and that sort of thing.
Yes.
So how do you deal with a situation like that?
Well, we send it to plastic surgeon.
Mm, see, they all work hand in hand, you know. Guess what?
Okay, now you're thinner, but those flabby skins, you need another workout.
Because
okay.
you will lose weight really
well,
fast.
Is it dangerous to lose weight very fast?
No, there's no study to show excessive weight loss in a short period of time you'll die younger. No.
Well,
really?
Not necessarily die younger.
Yeah, but other sort of effects of losing weight really quickly.
Well, you probably lose some hair during the first few months after the operation because of the excessive weight loss. Probably due to the high protein turnover. But other than that, most patients, you will be surprised, are very happy with their result. Because this is the first time in their life they were able to lose that
right.
amount of weight.
It must be quite liberating for
yeah.
them.
Quickly.
You could imagine that they can cross their legs for the first time.
Wow.
For some patients. Mm. That is totally, we are not only talking about diabetes. Now we're talking about lifestyle. Yeah.
Self-esteem, confidence.
Mm. Correct.
You know, your...
Those are... Mm.
Now I'm swinging towards tempting.
Okay, there's something called...
There's a pendulum that is swinging from one side to another.
There's something called the dumping syndrome in relation to gastric surgery. What is that?
That is only for gastric bypass. Because after gastric bypass, we reroute your small intestine from the lower part of the intestine, go all the way up to the top of the stomach. See? Normally, this lower part of the intestine have never seen any food directly
okay.
because we exclude the first part of the small intestine, we call duodenal exclusion. So there is a very reaction of hormonal changes
mm-hmm.
when you see this lower part of the intestine saw all this glucose come in. So they release a lot of hormone.
Right.
So it makes you, sweaty,
sure.
palpitation, you feel,
okay.
you feel nausea, you feel dizzy,
Nothing to do with DBKL.
I just feel this is going against what we're
nature,
made.
That's right.
Yes.
Oh, but
do you think this...
Getting rid of...
But
yeah.
this is...
I mean, of course I can think of many barriers, for people to concerned about it. Number one is safety. Okay, you mentioned that there are many ways to, assure you that it's safe. Number two, it's cost, which we're probably going to discuss a little bit. Number three, is this fear that it's not natural? What do you say to that? When patients come to see you and then, with mirrors concerned to say that surely this is not a natural way.
Well, we have been doing, I have to emphasize, we have been doing this since 1960s, all right? Yes, it's not natural. However, it does help a lot of patients who have not been able to do a good glucose control, have not been able to lose any much significant amount of weight, and their lives change because of this surgery.
Mm.
So if you say not natural, but we do help patients.
Yeah, well, my other concern is that I worry that it might be transient. It might just be a short-term solution
but we have
for
studies.
My long-term problems.
We have much bigger studies, population studies, that is a case control study that we follow patients.
I think in relation to diabetes and those who have a BMI 35 and above, probably effective. I think George and I are more thinking about the aesthetic point of view, people who opt for this sort of surgery for aesthetics more than anything else.
Well, I don't see it as aesthetic, because if your body mass index gets to 35 and above, you are morbidly obese. A lot of medical problems due to this can happen because of the weight problem, such as your even cancer. You have a higher risk of get cancer. You have a higher risk of gallstone. You have a higher risk of back pain, sleep disease.
Yeah. And I understand amongst the diabetics, compliance with medication is a big problem.
Correct.
People are not compliant.
We're talking about diabetes because diabetes have more morbid complications. Yep. But other medical problems also can due to this weight problem. Yep. So
okay. Chan on the line, your question?
Afternoon, Chan.
Hi, hello. Go ahead.
I just want to inquire, is there a procedure where you just put the balloon into the stomach and it's reversible?
Okay. Is it reversible? Yes. That's a great question.
Thank you very much, Chan. Thank
you for the question.
Yeah.
Actually,
what is this balloon?
This is a gastric balloon. This is just newly approved by the FDA for use for obesity, fighting obesity in the United States.
Mm.
It's a balloon that we fill it with saline, about between 400 to 700 ml of water. We put it in the stomach. You have to remove after 6 months because it's a silicone-based balloon. So it would stay in your stomach for 6 months, we take it out. The weight loss is about 7-10 kilos for, let's say, you are overweight.
So Chan's question is, is it reversible?
Yeah, because once you take out the balloon, it's just like nothing done to
your
body.
So the functions of this balloon essentially is to compete with your food.
Correct.
So that you have less ability to eat more food. Okay.
Correct.
What sort of results are we looking at when you look at this?
But
thing?
I don't see balloon as a good solution for those really obese patients.
Because you see competition.
No, I do the balloon. I do balloon.
He does.
All right,
balloon.
Okay.
Yeah. My red flag, gentlemen, is the word silicone.
Silicone, that's right.
Why is it there?
What,
no, this is a medical grade silicone.
All right, okay, yeah.
It's
yeah.
not the industry grade. Okay?
All right, no. This is like a prosthesis that
yes.
you will use
correct.
In many things.
Correct.
That's right, yeah.
And it's safe. Pretty much it's safe. It's just a space-occupying object inside your stomach.
Right.
It's competing with, like you say, it's competing with your food. You can't eat that much. Okay. You eat too much, you vomit. All right, of course, but the risk is quite minimum. But I don't think it's a long-term solution for all this morbidly obese
but
patients.
Like you
because
said, it gives you a head start, you know, for you to, you know, to reduce your
you know, and
your weight.
And especially this reversible. Basically, you just want to try.
Of course,
you pull it
so
in and take it out.
George, it's something for you.
I remember
have
once.
Have some self-control.
That's right. I was expecting LTY to ring in today.
No, he
because,
didn't.
You know, because, you know, actually for some people who actually don't believe LTY existed because we thought that BFM planted this man who calls
never,
in all the time.
Never.
Actually, I met LTY and then the first thing he said to me is, Dr. George, you're not as fat as you portray yourself to be. So that really made my day. Thank you, LTY.
You are most welcome, George. On behalf of LTY, your message. We're running out of time on bariatric surgery and diabetes.
Well, for those patients who are obese and who have diabetes or other medical problems, talk to your physician about these operations. You know, seek information from the internet or proper, to talk to more doctors and see, should I have this surgery? At least open up the discussions. Some physicians, just like you and Mira, that not really believe in this unnatural treatment of diabetes.
Yeah.
It is been done and it works.
Mm.
So you talk to the doctors.
All right. We're just concerned and a bit skeptical. That's about it, really. George?
Well, I think 50% cure for diabetes is a very remarkable achievement. Regardless of what our concerns, our barriers with an operation, I think whenever something is projected like that, we really have to take it seriously. After all, diabetes is a huge problem because a short operation like that, although it might cost a lot of money, but it will have benefits if this truly is curing 50%. Because dealing with the type of patients who have problems with neuropathy and then blindness, amputations, kidney failure, I really think that this potentially can change the landscape of medicine. And I really think, you know, after today's discussion, realize that majority of us probably are borderline, and we are in that category that we can save ourselves by exercising, eating more. For those people who are clinically morbidly obese, and those patients may need an operation to save your future.
Yeah, 35 and above.
That's
if you're
right.
Thinking about the baseline for BMI.
Yeah, so I really think that, you know, this will apply to 10% perhaps of the populations, like for example, the one study in this group that might change their future and might save their lives.
Exactly.
Oh, Malaysia's BMI more than 30 is about 14%.
Mm.
So, wow.
So, you know, I begin to realize that this is a situation that can potentially change the landscape of diabetic care, and then therefore watch this space, mm-hmm. because 10 years from today, it might be something that is done in order to cure that 50% of people who will have who will face the complication of diabetes.
Remission, George.
Remission.
Remission. Remission. Thank you both very much for joining
Five-year
me today.
Remission.
Yes,
thank
Dr. KC Cha, bariatric surgeon, Dr. George Lee, consultant urologist on The Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, The Business Station.